Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I hear Jimmy's words in my head.
The most poignant 7 words ever uttered in any speech anywhere.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
So I will never give up.
To be honored with this, I now have a responsibility to also not ever give up. I listen to all that he said, everything that he asked of us, and that's to build the V Foundation.
What I would like to be able to do is to spend whatever time I have left and to give and maybe some hope to others.
We are going to find a cure for cancer.
Because of all the donations, research, and support, mine is one of the lives that's been saved.
Jimmy, my man up there, we are not going to stop chasing our dream to beat cancer.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever.
Today is Giving Tuesday. It's a day when people across the country give back to organizations that are most meaningful to them and their communities. And all day long today, ESPN Radio is supporting the V Foundation. If you're able, we hope that you'll join us today. If you're able on Giving Tuesday, go to v.org/donate now and help support the critical work of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. And we're just sitting, you know, here on the set. We're talking about people who have passed, including Stu Scott, and we've worked with him, and impossible not to know the guy at all, even come in contact and not really be fond of Stu Scott, a real good dude. And
Craig Sager,
so many people in the, but it's not just in the industry, it's everyone on earth is affected by this. So I thought that Sylvie from Waddle and Sylvie, who was on earlier, made a great point, which is essentially, like, even if you're not doing it for someone else, do it for yourself. When you donate to the Jimmy V Foundation, it's like putting money in the bank, because this will affect you at some point in your life if it hasn't already. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPNU. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. By the way, you can scroll down to live radio and find us right there. We've been asking the question, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Are you okay with one of the best players in the world saying someone else is the best? Luka said it about Giannis. I brought this to Jay's attention, and now he's very interested in this topic. Luka said this about Giannis, and Jay is not okay with that. Even if Luka thinks it's true, Jay doesn't think he should say it.
But Jay, why don't you think he should say it?
Well, I'll tell you why, Key. Because Jay feels
what?
Tell me how I feel, Max.
Yeah, go ahead, Max.
I would never presume.
I
would never presume to answer for you, Jay.
You know what? Jay,
Hold on, Jay.
We need you to come up to the podium to address these questions after your team just had a devastating loss to the Wizards, 92-91. Guys, thank you, but I'm going to let my person speak for me. Max, please take it away.
Well, let me tell you, everybody. Jay feels. John in Texas wants to talk about it, guys. Ask Jay a question, John. Don't worry about it. I got your answer. Go ahead, John. Go ahead, John.
What's up, man? I appreciate y'all taking my call, man. I agree with Jay, man. It's not even the question. It's like, come on, are we talking about mindset? 90% of the game is mental. So you step on the court and you're already seeing that somebody's better than you. I mean, you damn near already lost the battle, you know, from the beginning. So it's hard for me to get behind a leader like Luka Doncic when I don't hear Steph Curry saying that LeBron is better than him. I don't hear KD saying that Giannis is better than him. So it's just hard for me to swallow it, or you can say something like that.
But in the end, if I said that Jay was better than me, I don't really truly believe that. Let him believe what he want to believe. I know what I got to do. I got to get at him regardless.
But you would never say that, Key.
But I'm just –
you can't even – the fact that you're trying to rationalize something that you would never say blows my mind.
I would never say
it. I know you would.
And I'm just trying to get you to understand that it's okay to say. Man, I just would approach it that way.
All right. Y'all can tell me y'all think Luka playing mental games or what. I watched it when it said
it. I didn't say it was mental games. I'm just saying.
He looked like he believed it. That's all. And like, and I just go back to Jesse's point. Like, I didn't hear LeBron say, no, you know, KD the best. Or I definitely know KD ain't going to say Giannis is the best. Or LeBron is the best.
Not everyone has to do it the same way, though.
But KD don't believe Giannis. But KD probably just don't even believe that like that, though.
KJ is very bothered by the whole topic.
keep using the word bothered,
like a
which
fish
bothers
on a hook.
Me yes, even
it
more.
Does. See,
well,
it bothers you.
You are bothered by it because you're like super animated about it.
Well, because I'm competitive, dude.
I'm not saying that you're not. You won two damn trophies in college or whatever those the Naismith.
Two damn trophies.
Can you clarify which trophies for our audience instead of just calling Naismith, them two random right? trophies?
We Naismith? Went back and looked.
No, man, this
in
dude,
the last 60 dude, years, the only person who was not a center to win two National Players like of the Year awards, the only it's one so was like Jay Will. Everyone
he
else.
The two metal
two,
things.
Two times.
Metal things.
Everyone else was a footer. Everyone else was a footer. And then Jay, who's scraping 5'11", won it twice.
But if Jay has to prove to me that he's the best point guard to ever lace him up in college basketball, then something's wrong with him. Yeah, he doesn't have to prove anything to me. Anything.
No, I'm not saying that.
Those two trophies with the guy with the ball.
Yeah.
Why,
there you go again with the ball line again. Just can't stop today. Can't.
But look, man, I don't see anything wrong with it. I just don't, Jay. I know.
It's nothing wrong with it. I didn't say it bothers me. There's something wrong with it. All I'm saying is you can think something. You can know something.
Just don't say it.
Just don't say it out loud.
I remember at one point the Yankees traded for Bobby Abreu, and Gary Sheffield was in right field for the Yanks. Looked at Abreu and goes, he's not better than me, man. He's like, there's one. They said, the only dude better than me is Vladimir Guerrero.
But
he
see,
just gave it up.
Though,
he saw a dude.
But
he was like,
different.
But they were very similar. But
that's different.
Sheffield looked at him. But what it did to me was it gave me credibility with like, it gave him credibility to me. He really thinks he's better than Abreu, because if he thought someone was better, he'd let you know.
But that's different, though. We as players will always look at somebody and be like, please.
Yeah.
Because some people got yeast on it.
Yes.
And it's hyped up. And, you know, you look at, I've looked at other receivers in the league and look at their numbers. And, oh, this guy. Like, man, if you don't stop, you give me that dude for 12 years and see what the hell I'll do.
And maybe this is generational, Max, because, like, hypothetically, if we were ever playing, like, you and I are in the NBA.
Right.
And we're competing. You're guarding me, I'm guarding you.
I'm owning the team, probably.
I have 30, and I shut you down a little bit, and you go, you know, Jay Williams, best player in basketball.
Right.
Guarantee you, next time I step on the court with you, like, oh, I'm best player, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, I'm going to come at you even harder because I know where you see me.
I get it. On the other hand, to me, there's something very gangster about it. When you say, when you are at the level Luka's at and you look at another dude and say, that's the best in the game, what it means to me is, but I'm coming for that. It doesn't mean he's always going to be the best. It's like, I give it up. So that at the point, when Giannis still not saying, Giannis at one point, year or two ago, KD's the best player in the game. I bet you he doesn't say that now.
So does this apply to team sport? What could it apply to?
There's
team
a one-on-one element in the NBA. You know, there
is.
Because
if you look at team sport, and I run up against Duke in basketball every single time, and they're winning a lot, am I supposed to say the best team in basketball, or am I supposed to not say that? Am I supposed to say that Alabama the best team in football?
I see what you mean. Does it apply to teams as well?
Nick Saban is the greatest coach. I'm getting ready to coach against him. So now I'm supposed to be scared to coach against Nick Saban?
Lanisha in New York has something to say about this.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I just look at it as it's a job, right? They all have a job. Right now, Luka feels that Giannis is doing the best at the job. He's not saying that he's better than him. He's just saying he's doing the best at the job right now.
That's interesting. No, that is interesting, and she's right in that Giannis has won the MVPs and the championship, most importantly.
No, I hear you. Even though you get drafted – and it's generational wealth, it changes. I never looked at basketball as a job. It was personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's never like, you know, KD, after he had a great game against Orlando last night, he said, one of the guys asked him a question. He's like, you know, this zone that you're in, like, when did you get into that? He's like, I wake up in it. Like, it's personal for all the – you don't think it's personal for Key? Everything about Key shows you why he was number one pick, shows you why he won a Super Bowl.
I got lucky.
We got lucky too, all of it. But it's all personal for a lot of athletes, man. It's what you do. A
couple scouts didn't know what they was looking at, Max.
Jesse in Texas has something to say about this, guys.
You're a bum.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning.
So here's the thing. Things that you're supposed to know but never answer.
Mm.
Case in point, if your wife says, hey, does this dress make me look fat? You need to try to avoid the answer altogether. If you know, you just know. And I just think Luka is really messing with child minds, because Luka is an old man that's in a young body. He's like that old guy at the basketball court with the penny loafers on that'll just bust your head for no reason in basketball.
So what are you saying he's doing? Why is he saying it then? Jesse in Texas, why is Luka saying it then?
he is saying it so that he can hype himself up. Because right now he's maybe down trying to get to that level, but he's saying it to motivate himself because he's still a millennial, but he's an old man in a young person's body.
What about that, Jay? He's hyping himself up like Giannis is where I need to get.
Okay, get there. Get there. I mean, by the way, like Luka can get there. Like Luka can take off weight.
First.
Yeah.
He can learn how to be a great defensive player. Like, all right, if the light bulb has just went off,
he can lose no weight.
You know what's interesting about Giannis? Giannis and Luka, very different paths. Like, it reminds me when I said MJ, right? It was cut from his high school team as a sophomore and everything, different than like LeBron, who's the anointed one. When you have the path MJ took, it's different. Like Giannis was not, oh my God, he's going to be the greatest ever. It was a harder road, whereas Luka, oh, he's the toast of the basketball world since he's 15 years old, right? And so when you look at Giannis, you never think he needs to work out a little harder. When you look at Luka, you think he could work out a little harder, right? Mm. A different path. It doesn't mean Luka can never get there.
No, I didn't say Luka can never get there.
I don't know why you think he can't get there.
Why do you keep telling the public I think he can't get there?
Because you said he couldn't get there.
No, I did not.
So bothered.
You guys are so annoying.
No, you did say that. You absolutely said that.
Shut up, man. No, because I always cross my arms. Now Max is trying to make this thing like when I cross my arms, I get defensive.
You get defensive about a lot of things.
I get defensive about
you. Got
you
got mad at me because I said the
two
trophies.
Pieces of metal.
Key, please, if you want to know what Jay thinks, just ask me. I'll let you know.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Or you can ask Jay, but I'll answer.
Wait, Yates, what was the quote from Giannis about Luka?
So Giannis said, no matter wins or losses, just being respected by your peers is always a good feeling. I always love playing against the best players in the league. He's an incredible player, incredible talent, arguably one of the most talented players I've ever seen in my life. It's unbelievable what he can do for himself and for his team.
Mm-hmm. Arguably one of the most.
Arguably.
Okay.
Maybe it is, but maybe you could argue it. He's one of them that I've seen.
One of.
When my left eye's closed and my.
All right.
KJM 10K day giveaway, guys. You know we're in the middle of that. So 10 after every hour, we give you the winning word. You text at the 777-000. And I swear to you, Jay, if it wasn't Giving Tuesday, the winning word would be bothered right now. But it is Giving Tuesday.
You bother me.
Yes, yes. Only on a good day.
You guys.
When you hear the winning word, which is coming right up, text it to 777-000. You're entered for your chance to win $2,500. We do it every hour on every show through the end of the show, December 7th. All right, let's hear it. Get money, get
money, get money, get money. DJ and Max, 10K giveaway.
Great winning word now, guys, because this is what it's all about. This is what the Jimmy V Foundation is working toward. Cure, C-U-R-E, a cure, C-U-R-E. Text CURE to 777-000. And you can join us. Go to v.org/donate and give what you're able to give. You'll feel good. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, Bart Scott.
Uh-oh.
What do you say now?
Saw the Eagles beat the Packers 40-33.
I love Bart.
But because of their issue defending against the run, he thinks that once Jalen Hurts has to beat a team with his arm, they could be in trouble. Let's listen to the way Bart Scott phrases this. Is he saying they will be in trouble, or is he asking the same question Key is asking, which gets misinterpreted? Not that Miami can't win in the cold weather, but he wants to see him do it first because a lot of times it's hard
Miami
for warm weather.
Hear what they want to hear. They don't like.
But the point is, you played in Tampa. You know it's hard for warm weather teams to travel because you've experienced it, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to hear if Bart is saying it along the lines that you're asking the questions about Miami, or if has certain feelings about it already. Here he is on Bart and Hahn.
For everything that Jalen Hurts is doing, and for everything that he's been this year and efficient with the football and consistent, not having a bad game. I just wonder if he goes against a quarterback that is an upper echelon quarterback, if he can rise to the occasion and beat the teams with his arm and not his legs.
Sounds like a question to me. Doesn't sound like he has an answer yet. He's asking a question. It's legitimate.
But I've seen him do it already.
Well, you've seen him make nice throws. That's different than they're stopping him from running, and now he's having to throw every time.
I've seen him have less rushing yards than 157. And put it in the air and win the games. I've watched him do it. And I oftentimes say this. We wouldn't question, I'll just use Tom Brady, two different type style quarterbacks. Tom Brady had a total of 500 yards of total offense in the air and they won. we wouldn't say anything. Oh, my God, Tom Brady's the greatest, blah, blah, blah. As soon as Jalen Hurts gives you 400, some on the ground, some in the air, well, we shift to wanting to see it all in the air. You still won the damn game.
Well, hold on, Key. So against Washington,
I was doing
against
the same
Minnesota,
thing.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like somebody in it. Minnesota, they went 24-7.
But Minnesota's in a dome.
333 yards, passing yards.
That's okay. A dome, though, inside.
Right. Exactly. No, they played in Philly.
One touchdown, interception. One touchdown, one interception. Washington, at Washington, threw for 340, three touchdowns, zero interceptions.
And how much did he rush for?
He rushed for 20 yards. So 360.
I don't even need to go at the stat. I don't need to look at the statistics to know that I've watched him do this.
You know, the Dolphins beat some teams on the road in cold weather cities, Key. Why are you still asking questions about
them? What teams did they beat in cold weather cities
the
when it was cold?
The mighty Chicago Bears.
Oh, yeah, the mighty Chicago Bears. Yeah, that really goes over well.
I'm sure in his career he's beaten a team in a cold weather city, though. He
I'm talking been. About this team with the Miami Dolphins, though, Max.
Okay.
This team.
Right. Okay.
Not Brian Flores' teams when they went to New England and won.
But it is fair. Don't you think it's reasonable?
Like
it's reasonable for you to say, I'm asking the question about Tua and the Dolphins because I haven't seen it yet. But in my experience, I am skeptical at times because I've seen it's difficult. Isn't it fair for
you can
Bart
apply
to
that
say
the same way Bart's
yeah,
playing experience
Bart said, yeah, he's
quarterbacks
like,
that he's gone up against that couldn't beat them throwing the football. I get that. I understand all of that. But I've watched Jalen Hurts throw the ball all season long.
In other words, you've seen what you need to see.
I haven't seen Miami go to the cold this year or go to San Francisco, by the way, which I'm sure San Francisco will be a little chilly, won't be what I'm thinking of in Buffalo and New England, and potentially on the road to Kansas City, potentially on the road to Cincinnati, potentially on the road to Baltimore. That freezing temperature where guys are sitting there and all of them are on the benches because they're not standing next to the head coach watching the game because they're cold as hell. That's what I'm talking
and
about.
I've watched games in those conditions.
They did
it's
win
tough.
In New England last year, 17-16.
But that's what I just said.
Yeah,
I
the
said,
first game of the season.
I said
yeah.
this yeah, version no, of the team, not you. Brian Flores' version.
I just started going through, like, Tua specifically, like, playing in cold weather. Like, they lost lost in Buffalo. They beat the Jets in late December. Then, yeah, I mean, none of their games have been kind of
that's all
cold.
I'm saying.
Jay, what do you
that's
think about Hurts from what you've version. Seen? From what you've seen about Jalen Hurts,
yeah,
have you seen enough to say, yeah, he can do it from the pocket? He's good.
Yes,
he doesn't have. In other words, even if they shut down the run somehow, he'll be fine.
Well, because it's never. I mean, it's like when somebody says, "Well, Jay, they're going to shut you down off a pick and roll." I'm like, you can't really shut me down off a pick and roll. Like, there's too many options. It's about me making the right decision. Like, so for me, it's not about just Jalen Hurts beating you from the pocket, throwing you for 350 yards.
Because there's always the threat.
It's about the threat of his decision-making and how he goes about that. And to me, that decision-making has looked crystallized and it slowed down.
Look, crystallized. You hear that? So
is that a big word to you?
No.
Oh, you were saying you're agreeing.
You're a little bit defensive today.
I am.
It is
I'm
true.
Still
it's
on
a little,
I'm coming off. I'm back. I'm
yeah,
so
you're back.
So
come,
what I was going to say
I'm
is,
leaning in now.
You're
the
among
way,
friends.
The way Bart positioned this is almost as if he's saying that Jalen Hurts is wild throwing the football.
Yeah.
He doesn't complete any passes. Guys are twisting and turning, jumping up, getting their ribs cracked, trying to catch his footballs. He's acting as though Jalen Hurts is a quarterback, third string quarterback, that the only reason why he's there is because he's an emergency.
I don't think so.
That's the way it sounds to me.
It doesn't sound that way to me.
That's what it sounds like.
It sounds to me like, look, Hurts
from a
went,
passing standpoint.
No, I get it, but Hurts went in the second round. Here are the facts. He did lose his job at Alabama. He did go in the second round. Okay, though, that happened.
Don't get me. He Max, was not get ready
but,
to go on that.
But Key but
with
I'm
me.
Not. By the way, I've never been anti-Hurts, right? Like I'm just
no.
Talking.
It's just the way that sounds when you
but
say it
I'm
so
saying,
quickly because there's a lot of context there.
Well, you do
the
give,
system and what Nick
human
Saban wanted.
Beings, the brain will give the benefit of the doubt to the first overall pick, right? But the point is, that did happen. Then he was with Philly. He made some nice throws but was inconsistent in terms of seeing the middle of the field especially. Then they got him weapons. He got more experience, and he's been great, right? Like, absolutely.
Dude took a team on his back last year as a full-time starter, took him to the playoffs, ran up against the Tampa defense. They lose.
See, he ran up against it.
Oh, God. I can't.
Man, what if he threw up against it?
Get us the way you're trying to get us to, man, because you get ready to get on my damn nerves.
Not getting ready. There you go again. All right.
Jay, what do you think about?
Lord, Max, let me tell you.
Take it away.
MVP odds, guys. Hurts is now in second place to Patrick Mahomes. And he deserves it.
Matt, you rushed for 103 yards in the first quarter.
Quarter.
Okay. All right. Got it. I understand. But Tua's not far off.
He also had some throws in that game.
No, he's plus 500. He's not far off. It's right there.
No. Tua's not far off. Balling out of control this year. And I've said it a billion times. I'll say it a billion and one. The fact that he got staggered the way he did, should have never been playing 4 days later, but did, and then had his arms rigid, laid out. And then I was thinking, he's just jeopardized his career. I don't know about this season. And again, I don't know if it's wise for him to be playing given those facts, but he is playing and has been playing incredibly well.
Yeah, very
to me,
good football.
I'm not holding against him the games that he missed or the time that he missed. I'm giving him credit as an MVP for going through that.
Missed two games.
But okay, I'm not like, well, Hurts and Mahomes have played more games. When your leader can do what he did, it's
he
a big
two
thing.
Games. If he'd have missed four or five or something like that, it's different. He missed two games. And we saw them without him, and we've seen him with him. He is playing good football, man. He deserves to be in the MVP conversation.
Yep.
I don't think he'll win it.
Can I just do something that I know it's going to get key mad? So CBS Sports tweeted this out the other day.
Wait. I work for ESPN.
Through 30 career starts, Tua has more passing yards than Tom Brady, fewer INTs than Aaron Rodgers, more passing TDs than Joe Montana.
I can't.
And a higher completion percentage than
you
Kurt Warner.
You taking Tua or Joe Montana?
I didn't say that.
I'm asking you a question.
Jay has just proven.
Stop yelling at me.
You can't handle the truth.
Tua is the greatest quarterback who ever lived. Jay has proven it.
Are you not entertained?
The fact that he went to early stages of Tom Brady's career.
In a different passing era, the whole thing.
Oh, my God. If you don't stop.
I'm just reading you the stats. I'm just laying out what the facts are with 30 games. That's
a
all
better
I'm
completion
saying.
Percentage than we're Johnny building. Unitas.
If y'all don't stop, man. You don't stop. He's probably got more touchdowns than a lot of people that went on to
a
have
better win-loss record than Joe Namath.
I said I knew it would get you angry.
Because I'm not angry. I just you're putting
yeast on it.
Fewer
fake news out in the world.
Now we're using political to fake news.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
I listened to what Jim Valvano said 21 years ago. I now have a responsibility to also not ever give up. I'm not special. I just listened to what the man said. I listened to all that he said, everything that he asked of us. And that's to build the V Foundation.
Join the fight against cancer. Go to V.org/Stewart. All donations benefit the Stewart's Got Cancer Research Fund.
Oh, you know what that means. You hear Shook Ones Part 2, Mobb Deep.
Paul Feinbaum?
It is. Today is Giving Tuesday, by the way. It's the day when people all across the country give back to support the organizations and communities that mean the most to them. All day long here at ESPN Radio, that means we're supporting the V Foundation. Go to V.org/donate. Yes, that music, Jay, means here on Keyshawn, J. Willimax on ESPN Radio, it means Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern on the SEC Network. Paul Feinbaum joins us, brought to you by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
Paul, I just want to say something. So 2 weeks ago, I remember I wrote it down. You really made fun of Keyshawn for USC not going to be able to be there. And I just want to say for the record, it's looking like they're going to be there. I just want to kick it off by saying that. Anything you want to say to Key?
Yeah, not only do I think they're going to be there, they deserve to be in there. They have finished the season with great gusto and one more win, and they're a slam dunk, and there's even some debate. Even if they don't win, they could get in. I don't think that's going to be the case, but Keyshawn, we should have listened to you a long, long time ago.
He wasn't even listening to him.
You
Stop
know what?
That.
You know what, though, Paul? It's not about listening to me, because going on the road to that great hostile environment at Oregon State with the dark streets and the mist in the air, and then going to a tough, hostile environment in Utah and losing by 2 points late in that game. We get a revenge game against them this Friday in Las Vegas in the Pac-12 championship. But I want to ask you this, though. Tonight, do you think we jump TCU and get into the third spot?
I don't. And that's just a gut feeling, because these guys are a little bit unpredictable, but I think they're going to look at what TCU did last week and just completely dominating a very pedestrian Iowa State team and think, why do we need to hold them back? Although they have said all year that they like Notre Dame, so that would be the one card. The one thing you also have to start thinking about is, are they playing games for next week? Meaning, if everybody holds serve, are they trying to manipulate the semifinals? What would be the difference if SC went to 3 or Michigan went to 1? Then you could get an SC-Michigan game in the semifinals. But I may be overthinking it.
Paul,
No, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, and I get it. It's big business, Paul. And at the end of the day, all teams, all corporations, quote unquote, care about is winning. What do you make about the hiring of, Hugh Freeze at Auburn?
I pause because I think you have to pause when you think about this. There is going to be a lot of blowback, and the athletic director at Auburn, John Cohn, has assured people that he vetted the process. What does that mean? That means that they really
they hired a PR company. Paul,
that's what that means.
They hired a PR company.
Yeah, no, that's how concerned they are. Now, what are they concerned about? I think this is where we need to talk. They're concerned not about what happened in Ole Miss. That's in the wash. We all know Hugh Freeze got fired there, not for the NCAA allegations, but for the personal misconduct. And I'll come back to that in a second, because it's a really interesting story. They're concerned about what's happened at Liberty, where a suit has been filed against the administration there, and Hugh Freeze DM'd one of the victims involved. Some people believe it was harassment, by saying, you don't realize what a good man you're attacking, and what he was referring to there was the athletic director there. He talked about him being a man of great faith. That woman is speaking out, and she claims, she went on Twitter yesterday and claimed that Auburn never contacted her. And that's surprising, because if you're fully vetting everything about Hugh Freeze, then it seems logical that you would have gone through her. Now, I don't know, because we'll, there's a news conference in a couple of hours, and I'm sure their PR firm will make sure they frame it correctly. But here's the interesting part. Why did Hugh Freeze get fired at Ole Miss? He didn't get fired because of the allegations, and they ended up going on massive probation. They got fired because Hugh Freeze was spinning the media so relentlessly and saying all of the problems occurred under Houston Nutt, the previous coach, that Houston Nutt filed a lawsuit against him and the school. He hired a lawyer named Tom Mars, who's been very prominent representing players, as you probably know, Jay Will, and they discovered that the phone records that Hugh Freeze had been calling an escort service. For what reason, guys? I have no idea.
He escorted.
On a university phone.
Wrong number, Paul. It was the wrong number. It was the wrong number. Look, Paul.
Missed dial that number multiple times, Paul.
So, Paul, this conversation.
Max, what do they call that? A butt dial?
Yeah, butt dial. butt dials with iPhones nowadays. That's very interesting.
I wouldn't use the word butt, but yeah.
Butt dial an escort service. Okay.
Hey, Paul. So interesting conversation around college football, obviously, surrounds Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes. Rick George, the athletic director, reports are that he offered Deion the job. Colorado hasn't really said. Deion came out and said, yes, he was offered the job. What's happening there? Should he take this job at Colorado or sit tight?
I would sit tight. And I think it's fantastic that he got the offer. But Colorado, to me, is not where Deion Sanders needs to go. I mean, it's as far away from the bright lights as you can get. Have they been good? Sure. They won a national championship, but not in a long time. And I think it would take a massive effort. I think Deion is much better in the region that he's in. And I hope he holds on. Now, will he get better offers? I think he will, Key. You know him pretty well. I don't have any doubt that he'd be better off saying thanks, but no thanks.
See, I think you should take it, Paul. And the reason I think you should take it is because these jobs in Power 5 schools don't open, right? And that now, there's not anything that's out there that's good. Colorado, SC's leaving the conference. UCLA, most likely, depending on the vote, they'll be leaving the conference. He can recruit California, keep the best players in the state in Colorado, the McCaffreys, so to speak. He can recruit Arizona. He can recruit Texas, Florida. I just think it also goes to show a player with his type of snack, crackle, pop, ex-player, could actually land a Power 5 job without some of these athletic directors, boosters, presidents of schools judging you based on your style, what you look like, how you speak. That's why I think he should take it. It'll send a strong message.
You make some good points, and you played in that league. I just watch it from a couple of thousand miles away. But I just think he can, again, it's a matter, you know, as soon as I say I think he can do better, I can't tell you where. But I would just simply urge patience. And it just seems rather strange that I know he's got another a game, so he couldn't take the job right now anyway. But I think it's progress regardless. I think Deion has had a phenomenal run. Why did he not get a look from Auburn? No idea. They decided to hire someone who's already been fired in the league. But I'll listen to what you have to say. I don't know more than you do. I was just simply believing that he can do better.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Auburn has decided to hire Hugh Freeze instead of Deion Sanders or even be up for the job is an absolute slap in the face to a lot of black coaches. But I'll leave that conversation for another day, Paul. I do want to ask you your thoughts on John Harbaugh and what he's been able to do this year with Michigan. Jim, sorry.
I think the Harbaugh turnaround is one of the most amazing things I have ever seen in college football. And I hate to go back in time to get to where I am today, but 2 years ago, he was on the brink of getting fired. I think he would have gotten fired had we not been in the middle of the COVID season when financial situations were in dire straits. That seems like a long time ago in the Big Ten. And they slashed his salary. They publicly humiliated him. He took all the criticism from people like me and others. And what's he done since then? He had a perfect regular season last year, perfect regular season this year, has absolutely owned his rival. And suddenly Ryan Day has become 2 years ago Jim Harbaugh. That's how quickly things change. So, yeah, I mean, I am out of words to use or adjectives to describe the job he's done.
That is the great Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Of course, Paul, always great to hear from you.
Thank you, guys.
Fight on, Paul, baby!
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is V-Week at ESPN.
Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.
Help continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer. Visit V.org/donate. All donations benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research.
So you've heard it all day. It's Giving Tuesday. People all across the country giving to organizations that are important to them and their communities. Today, all day long, ESPN Radio, therefore, is supporting the V Foundation in their fight against cancer. If you're able, we hope that you'll choose to join us today, if you're able, on Giving Tuesday. Go to v.org/donate now and help support the critical work of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. And, of course, we've been giving away money all day, $2,500 to three different people. By the end of this hour, it'll be four different people, $10,000 a day giveaway. We've given away, it's got to be about $120,000 so far.
A lot of bread.
Hope was the word, right?
Yeah.
Hope.
Was it this hour that hope was the word? Or was
cure.
It cure?
Cure.
I think
cure.
It was cure.
Cure.
C-U-R-E. Cure.
Cure.
To 777-000. Text it. You're entered for a chance to win $2,500.
25!
We were just talking to Paul Feinbaum about Hugh Freeze being named Auburn head coach. So why hasn't Deion Sanders, why didn't Auburn go after Deion Sanders?
Key, can I just say something before you give a breakdown? Like, to me, and I said, but Paul, it was such a slap in the face. And I know that, you know, Deion does things in a Deion Sanders prime way, right?
Coach Prime.
Coach Prime, that's prime. But you tell me that's not the most realistic marriage. That was, like, it's like two strong families. If I put these families together, that's going to be dynasty level. Auburn Prime. It's a marriage. Game over. I mean, you want to compete with Nick Saban. You want to compete with anybody in SEC in the country. Game over with their facilities, with the resources, with all that for Prime. It's over. But the fact that they would hire, and I'm for everybody having second, third, fourth, fifth chances here. But the fact Hugh Freeze with his history and even what happened at Liberty that Paul just came on our show and broke down, Key, with everything that happened at Auburn. It's just, come on, man. Come on, Auburn. What are we doing?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the marriage wasn't made. It wasn't to be. Okay, so the way that I look at it, Hugh Freeze beat Alabama and Nick Saban back-to-back years when he was at Ole Miss. So that obviously tickles their fanny a little bit, right? Gets them all super geeked about Hugh Freeze. Deion Sanders' personality, who he is, his style, how he rolls. People, think about it. I believe it's 2004, 2005. My years could be off a little bit. But the first black head coach in the SEC in football was Sylvester Crooms. Think about that, Jay. Do that math for me.
2004.
So that was the first. After the long history of college football in the SEC. Okay?
18 years ago.
That was so long, right?
Damn.
Then you get James Franklin, you get Kevin Sumlin, you get Mason. Mason and Franklin had to go to Vandy, two bottom barrel programs to get head coaching jobs in the SEC. Texas A&M was coming to the SEC, so they figured Sumlin, Houston, it was good right up the street. He did well. They hired him. Auburn was never going to hire Deion Sanders, no matter what we say, because he doesn't fit for what they're looking for and how they feel. He looks different. He has the chain. He's riding on a scooter. He wants to be referred to as Coach Prime.
You know what that is to me?
Their acceptance of Cam Newton was just, it was a fraud. It was a fake.
They're going to accept you as a player.
Not as the person in charge.
But you ain't the person in charge. You're not the person in charge.
Jay.
And people can say what they want to say, Max. I'm not a fool.
That sounds like another team to me. Cowboys.
Everything that Key is talking about, Jay, to me comes down to, and this is, like, I think about someone like Muhammad Ali, who was unapologetically black, right? Because there are a set of assumptions that many people make in white America about black people. You have to prove something. You have to, because of the color of your skin, you have to show that, no, certain assumptions you have about me are not true, that are just not made about other people, right? So not that you must be apologetically black, but I suppose you might say something like that. You have to be like, you know, you can't be unapologetically in some places still black,
man,
and expect to be afforded the same opportunities, because we are not living in a post-racial world.
It's the weird deal, and I don't claim to know everything about everything in terms of the SEC or college football or hiring practices or whatnot, but I know what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take a guy like T. Martin, who played at Tennessee, has been a coach in college football forever, offensive coordinator at USC, phenomenal coach. They took a dude off of Nick Saban's staff at the University of Tennessee. Mind you, T. Martin played at the University of Tennessee, won their national championship. Peyton Manning didn't win a national championship. T. Martin did. Mm. He had to go there to be a receiver coach, passing game coordinator. He couldn't even get the head coaching job. And the dude that was the athletic director, Philip Fulmer, was his head coach when he played for the man and didn't hire him.
Things are changing, but not fast enough.
I mean, how's it changing?
Well, I'm saying
that was just a few years ago.
Yeah, but Jay brings up, so they have Cam Newton, because years back there wouldn't be a black quarterback at all, right? Now there are black quarterbacks.
No, Auburn's always had a few brothers dropping back.
When you say always, what do you mean? You're going back a few decades, but then a few decades before that, not so much, right?
Yeah, they have things are changing, stuff like that.
Not fast enough.
No, Auburn's always had black quarterbacks, though. I just want to correct y'all on that. They never shied away from that because of the style that they was running. They've always had a few of those that have been able
when
to help
was the first one?
Oh, God. But you're taking me like the 1940 problem.
Okay. That's like the point. It's like, oh, okay, so like you guys both said it. You could be a player,
yes,
or you can't
absolutely
run the show.
Can't be in charge.
Oh, no.
Can't run the show.
You know how this goes. That's why I want Prime to take that Colorado job, because they will accept him for who he is.
Oh, Prime's going to win wherever he goes. Get ready.
I'm going to be support. Damn, if he go to the – well, SC will be in the Big Ten, so I can support him.
KJM, we're back tomorrow, 6 a.m.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.